This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. And folks, for 4 years, we've been telling you about what has taken place with the human trafficking. We've been telling you about the Darien Gap. We've been telling you how the Biden regime, you know, they're getting their orders right from their Chinese lords to keep the borders open, to keep the fentanyl coming in. And Mayorkas is down there on the border, folks, and they're delivering these children, and the federal government under the Biden regime is the number one sex trafficker of children in the world. Now, we've been telling you this for 4 years. And they're using these NGOs to do it. And I praise the good Lord. Now, I'm not the only one talking about it now, you know. 4 years ago, there wasn't anybody talking. We were talking about this, and here's what we heard. Where do you guys get this stuff? If that were true, it'd be all over. It would be over the media. They would have it. Well, no, they don't, because the media's job is to cover it up. The far left, the Communist Party, NBC, ABC, CBS, what they call, even Sally Stahl realizes now, look, the jig is up. People, you've lost all credibility. You've lied too many times to people. But anyhow, let's hear from Stu Peters.
What God laid on me, what he put on my heart, was that this is a platform that he will use to fight for children. To fight for kids, to fight for these little ones. God said, Stu, that is a hill that you have to be willing to die on. And of course, that doesn't take any processing. You don't have to consider or weigh the pros and cons of fighting for kids. That's something that there should be no division on. We should all agree that fighting for these little ones, protecting these children, standing up for our kids, God's most precious gift to humanity, should be an automatic. And so that means that now we have to pick up the sword and combat this federal corporate government crime syndicate that we call a government. Because the United States government is hands down, indisputably, irrefutably the largest, the biggest human and child sex trafficking organization on earth. This is a government that's working directly with cartels, directly with multinational criminal organizations to bring people of all ages and of all stripes, of course, but especially desperate children with no parents into this country. So that then in turn they can be used and abused by the corporate banking government elite and their street level thugs who have been given blank checks and a license to rape and kill. Since Joe the pedophile Biden was installed as the fake president in January of 2021, since Kamala Harris was called the border czar and Alejandro the Jew Mayorkas left the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society to run DHS, more than 500,000 unaccompanied children have entered the United States. More than 500,000 unaccompanied kids have been brought to the United States. And those are just the ones that we know about. That's just the number that this fake federal government is sharing with the public. In all likelihood, of course, this number is far higher, considering that tens of millions of illegal aliens have now crossed over the border in the past 4 years alone. And millions before that. These children who are being brought to the United States by human traffickers and drug cartels, and who are sexually abused their entire way through Central America and Mexico, are handed right over to the United States government at the border, which oftentimes deals directly with their smugglers in a friendly and businesslike manner. And then they're transported to facilities run by the Department of Homeland Security and Health and Human Services and NGOs like Southwest Key or the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society that I just mentioned. These facilities where the children are being held with no parents, with no adult to look out for them, have become like shopping malls for pedophiles and child traffickers. They just waltz right in, they sign up to be a sponsor and to supposedly take these children in. And then oftentimes, these kids are never seen or heard from again. They're being handed over by your government to pimps and pedophiles and child pornographers of all the worst kinds of parasites on earth, and then they vanish. Or they're handed over to a labor trafficker and they end up working as a slave at an industrial chicken plant somewhere, like the one that Tyson is building specifically for illegal aliens in New York. These are children. Many of them are under 13 years old. And they're being taken from their parents, taken from their homes, carried through multiple countries by complete strangers who are abusing them and molesting them and raping them. And then they're being handed over to our federal government and their cronies who are also abusing them and molesting them and raping them. It's disgusting. Disgusting. It's a crime against humanity, no matter where these children are coming from. And now, finally, people are finally starting to talk about it. People are finally starting to demand that our federal government does some accounting. Where the hell are these children? And then do something about it. So Tom Homan, who's one of Donald Trump's only real promising appointments at this point, he's going to be coming in as the new border czar. And his top priorities, at least this is what we're being told, are going to be carrying out mass deportations, excellent, based, necessary, justified, and crushing these child trafficking networks that link back to our own fake government. Just recently, Homan, who's appeared on this program before, was on the Fox News channel, and he explained that of these 500,000 unaccompanied children that we have been told have crossed the southern border and then given. To sponsors. Of these over 500,000 unaccompanied children, more than 140,000 of them are currently missing. This government has absolutely no idea where more than a quarter of these kids are. They don't even know if they're still alive. Watch this.
I want to add one more thing. You talk about the child sex crimes. Under Kamala Harris, we'd have over 500,000 children have been smuggled into the United States, separated from their families, smuggled by criminal cartels, and released to the United States. That's your fear as a border czar. And let me add this. They've released these people to so-called sponsors. They don't vet properly. Now they can't find 148,000 children or their sponsors. And I guarantee you, based on my 3.5 decades of investigative experience, these children are in forced labor, or they're in forced sex trade, and they're living a life of hell. This administration, what they've done on the border is disgusting. You know,
This is a child trafficking operation that's so big that most people just can't even wrap their heads around it. Never before in known world history have hundreds of thousands, likely millions of children, been trafficked over thousands of miles of territory across the borders of multiple countries and then into the hands of perverts and criminals and slave drivers like they are right now, today, in the United States of America. The world has never seen anything like this. And those who have seen this up close and personal, those people say that it's something that they will never forget. Tara Lee Rodas is one of those people. Tara's former employer of the United States Department of Health and Human Services, who was deployed to the southern border to assist the feds with the massive number of unaccompanied child migrants being brought onto American soil, held by the feds and their partners, and then sold off to sponsors. So yeah, Tara has seen firsthand what happens to kids once they're picked up by the United States government, and she has testified about what she has seen to Congress. And with Tom Homan on his way in as Trump's border czar, Tara is hopeful that something will finally be done about this. She says that she stands ready to help in any way that she can. She says that the United States government must rescue these children. We agree. Prosecute these traffickers. Dismantle the trafficking infrastructure, much of which, of course, is controlled by the U.S. government itself. These people need to be arrested. These people need to be put on trial publicly. Then they need to be justly convicted by a jury of the American people. And when they're convicted, they need to swing from a length of rope until dead. Because those behind all of this, they aren't really people at all. They're demons who thrive on the blood of innocent children, and they need to pay dearly. And if this new administration is real at all, they will. For more discussion on all of this, Tara Lee Rodas joins us now. Tara, thank you so much for your testimony before Congress, for your bravery, for your courage, for coming forward, for saying the things that you're saying, for broadcasting the truth that so many people really actually wish to remain willfully ignorant about. They don't want to see this, so they just plug their ears, they cover their eyes, they say there's no way that it can be this bad. How bad is it?
Well, Stu, first I want to say thank you for being so educated on this issue and for sharing this information with your audience, because so many people are just unaware that this is going on. And so thank you for shining a light on what we now know is government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded child trafficking. I can assure you that's something that I never thought that I would say. When I raised my hand to help the Biden-Harris administration with the crisis at the southern border in 2021, I was deployed to the Pomona Fairplex. Stu, I thought I was going to be doing puzzles and playing games with children. That's what I thought. My husband is a Spanish speaker, so I'm fluent in Spanish. And I thought I was going to be there. They said it was family reunification, that these kids were going to be going with their families. And Stu, that is not what is happening. That's not what's happening at all. Children are being lured from their families in other countries. They are being smuggled to our border. Once they are handed over to our fine Border Patrol agents, they take them into the custody of the U.S. government, first DHS, and then DHS gives them to us, HHS, and then we turn them over to a sponsor that typically the child has turned in themselves. It's on a little piece of paper, it's pinned in their clothes, it's sharpied on them, it's, you know, maybe even sometimes they wear a necklace that's got like a badge on it of their sponsor that they got en route. And the United States government is the white glove delivery service. We take the children in, we put them through our process and the delivery service of children. That's what we're doing. So criminal actors are using this program, this government program that your listeners, you and I, are funding to the tune of billions annually to turn these children over to criminals. and criminal actors are using our system. They are defrauding the government. Worse, they are harming innocent children. And this is an unspeakable evil. And we absolutely must rescue these children. And as you said, we have to prosecute these criminals. Absolutely. And I do believe this new administration is going to do just that.
Well, I know that Tom Homan seems to be a real one. You know, the guy seems to be, he doesn't give a damn what people think about him. I love it when he talks in third person. Tom Homan is coming. I don't care who hates Tom Homan. Tom Homan is here. Tom Homan isn't going anywhere. Tom Homan is here to stay. I like that. I really do. He walks with a sway. And I believe him. I believe him to be very genuine that he wants to do this. Unfortunately, there are a lot of unelected bureaucrats around him. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that could probably put a chokehold on him, but I don't think he's the type that's just going to lay down. What do you think about, you know, I've heard talk about chipping these kids. I don't know. I feel conflicted about that. I do see the side of, hey, let's find out where these kids are really actually going. But then do you trust the people that are chipping them to tell you where they're actually going? I mean, what are some of the measures that we can put into place, some of the action that we can take to stop this? I mean, where are these kids going? Where are all these missing kids?
Well, that is a very sad story, where the missing children are. And before I tell you that, I do want to tell you something about Tom Homan. I've been in a room where Tom Homan has talked about the horror that he has seen happen to these children. It's very important that your listeners know Tom Homan has a huge heart for these children, and he is passionate about getting these criminals because he's seen what they have done to children, to toddlers. Stu, I think most people just don't realize what people will do to 18-month-old children. They don't know. Tom Homan has seen 18-month-old children who are no longer alive, who have been raped in every orifice. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about child rape. We are talking about serious evils. So yes, Tom Homan is very passionate about solving this problem. He's passionate because he cares for children. That's why those of us in this fight, the other whistleblowers who are out there, of which there are many, we are in this fight to save these children. I've looked into their eyes. I've seen frightened children. I've heard children say, I don't know the person I'm going to. They know they're in debt bondage. They've got to work off their smuggling debt of coming here. They're telling us they left their parents back home to go to the sponsor. So these are terrible evils. So what can we do? I think it's important that people know there are simple measures that can be done. One, how about a DNA test? Super simple. That begs the question, why did the administration stop doing that? Why did they quit doing DNA testing? We're just going to allow anyone to claim without even presenting themselves. Remember, these sponsors, HHS does not see the sponsor. We're trading papers over WhatsApp. We're not seeing the person live. We're only seeing the child. We don't see the sponsor. So, simple DNA test. Really? You're this person's parent? Okay, great. Well, prove it. I mean, who wouldn't do that if it was really their child?
Well, pedophiles wouldn't do that. People who are interested in child sex trafficking wouldn't do that. People who have an interest in making these kids disappear so they can do the unthinkable to them, they wouldn't do that.
Exactly. So deterrence, right? Prevention. What about also we have screening of who this sponsor is by actual law enforcement? So here's what's important. HHS is not a law enforcement agency. They have no investigative powers. There was nobody, so we had case managers, hundreds of case managers, and the federal team, there's not one investigator there. I'm like, so where's the FBI? Where are all, you know, where's Homeland Security investigations? Nobody was investigating the sponsors. This is astounding. I think people just cannot even imagine that the United States government would hand over a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, to a random person who just simply sent us paperwork electronically.
The FBI was busy, Tara. The FBI was busy kicking down the doors of American patriots who peacefully assembled on January 6, 2021 to petition the government to redress their grievances for an obviously interfered with and stolen election. The FBI was busy incarcerating parents in Loudoun County who were standing up to pedophiles that were in support of males going into little girls' bathrooms and molesting them. So the FBI has been very, very busy.
Yes, and what's very interesting, Stu, is that Senator Grassley made criminal referrals to FBI regarding these cases in January. Have you seen a prosecution?
Chuck Grassley of Iowa?
Yes, he did. He made criminal referrals to Homeland Security investigations and to FBI, and I have not seen FBI come out and say, hey, we've rescued 30 children based on all your case files. Hey, we have arrested traffickers. I haven't seen prosecutions. I haven't seen rescues. But like you said, they were busy doing other things. Just like now, I wonder how many of these cases are they looking at? Or are they too busy going after Kash Patel?
So this corporate government crime syndicate, when you combine the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society with other NGOs at the border, where is all of this money coming from that then funnels back into the pockets of the cartel? Is the American taxpayer paying for this child sex trafficking operation?
100%. Billions of dollars annually. So, Stu, most people probably don't know. They probably wouldn't get this right. If I were to say, what is the budget of HHS, so the Department of Health and Human Services? It is a $3 trillion agency.
All righty, we want to open the phone lines now. So we've been, you know, the phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. For 4 years, we've been telling you what everything that he just said, we've been saying there for the last 4 years, telling you about what has been taking place. Praise the good Lord that more people are now telling. I mean, as long as people keep talking about it, they can't keep getting away with it. This is why Mariarchus and these people, they're so scared. And see, Mariarchus is dependent upon Merrick Garland to protect him. Knowing, you know, and what he was doing, this guy, these people need to stand trial for murder. It's evil what they've done. And Joe Biden is, you know, him and his pedophile operations, folks. And thank God there's somebody, there's people out like Stu Peters. Thank God that there's people out there that have guts to speak up. And we have so little bit of courage today. It was an interesting thing because that woman that I was talking to you about, the one who talked about the why these women want to marry these nutcases. She said one of the reasons that women are looking for guys that are like hostile, you know, very hostile people that take charge, alpha males. She says because there's so little, there's a big dearth today of actual, well, I don't know if you want to say alpha males, but the testosterone, a male of masculinity. There's such a, you know, and a lot of that. I mean, there's a major problem in the pulpits of churches today with masculinity. That's one of the reasons so many people have left the church out there today. And the pastors that were no longer become here role models for a lot of the young men who didn't see bold, courageous men of God today. There are some out there, I praise the good Lord, because I know a bunch, and I praise the good Lord for those that are there, but comparatively to the way it used to be, not so. Now, here's the thing we have. I told you about Sam's Club. Here's an opportunity for you to do something, folks out there. Here's an opportunity. You can email the president, Chris Nichols is his name, of Sam's Club. You can email him at cjnichols@gmail.com.
Nicholas.
C.J. Nicholas. N-I-C-H-O-L-E-S. cjnichols@gmail.com. You can email him. We have a phone number, but it's like a lot of these phone numbers today. You get a whole menu of things before you can ever really get through to the right guy. But you can email him direct. That's his email. And let him know. Let him know. As long as you're selling the kill pill there, I will no longer ever buy another thing from Sam's Club. Let me tell you, if he got 100 emails, they would stop that. If he got 20 in one day, they would stop that. You're out there listening to me tonight. You can do that. You can send an email to C.J. Nicholas. We'll be doing it first thing in the morning, okay? cjnicholas@gmail.com. cjnicholas@gmail.com. Phone lines are open now. From what I have a guarantee, the phones are working. You folks out there, you got to call to let us make sure that the phones are working again tonight, okay?
Why don't we make sure with Mary in New Jersey?
All right. Mary in New Jersey, yeah. Are you there?
Hello? Can you hear
Hello?
Me?
Hello? Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, all right. I had a Bible question.
It's already.
Dealing with the book of Job.
Mm-hmm.
And it says he's from the land of Uz, U-Z.
Land of Uz.
Genesis has Uz as the grandson of Shem. And then when you go to Chronicles, First Chronicles, he's just listed as one of the sons of Shem. So I think he's probably elsewhere in the Bible. But
well, yeah,
the land
you see,
of Uz.
Yeah, what they do is a lot of times they don't do that. When they refer to one of the sons, that means he's in the lineage. That's what it means. So the part that says the grandson, that would be the correct.
I have a question. If it's sure. The land of Uz, is it possible, I mean, this is after the flood, and he's living in the land of Uz, so I assume that it belonged to the person named Uz, and they called it the land of Uz. But is it possible before the flood that any of these places had been named? And, like, I don't know if that's possible. Would anybody keep a record of anything like that? Is that possible?
Well, probably a lot of the records have been destroyed, okay? But, after the flood, they would have probably been destroyed. But, yeah, they kept records in those days. And the only records you would probably have kept would have been those that are left on the ark.
Left in the ark?
Yeah, on Noah's Ark,
they
whatever records they brought.
They
were meticulous.
Yeah, I was wondering if the land was there and Uz was named after the land, or they named the land after Uz. I'm trying to figure that out.
I don't. Actually, it's pronounced Oz, like in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, Oz. Yeah,
yeah, that's how it's pronounced.
These names in the Bible.
It's like Dr. Oz, that fellow that's out there.
Oh, he's Oz.
Ran for Senate.
It's Uz, but he's Oz. Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's pronounced the land
and
of Oz.
Abraham's from Ur, right?
Yeah.
You know what I was asking about, because in the introduction it talks about the sons of God came. You know, to talk to the Lord. And you were talking about Melchizedek the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know, he's about the time of Abraham, which is later on. But people seem to think like that took place in heaven, and I seem to think it took place on earth. When he says the sons of God, I think he's talking about the ones that are off the ark, like Shem and his family. And it sounds like Melchizedek would have been there. I just think it was on the earth rather than in heaven.
No, he's referring to the angels and that day when he said there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. Okay, now here you've got three heavens. Satan, okay, was not allowed. He would have soiled the third heaven. He was not allowed to defile the third heaven where God was. So, but God allowed him to have access to the first and second heaven. And so when it said that on that day the sons of God came to present themselves, He was referring to the angels, and Satan came with them. And, you know, that would happen on a regular basis.
Would they have been the fallen angels rather than the good angels?
No, these were the good angels that came to present themselves.
Because it didn't make sense why Satan would have been allowed in heaven. I thought it was taking place on earth since the talking.
No, he wasn't. No, Satan would not have been allowed in heaven. He was cast out of there. But that's a good question. Okay.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me why he came. I thought it was people that were talking about, because now Hebrew, number one Hebrew. I think you were talking about all this like it was.
If you read this in the text, see, okay, picture this. Here is all of the angels. They've come that day to present themselves. Now, Satan came with them. Now, remember, these angels all were witnesses of the battle that took place between God and Satan. Okay, now, Satan comes. Remember, Satan is still trying to get the angels to follow him. He's still in rebellion. So it's a contest, right? And here Satan is challenging God's authority. And he comes and he's using God's own word against him, or trying to use God's word against him. And he's saying, Job, what about Job, huh? Had you not put such a hedge around about him, I'd have him too, okay? Hold on to this. We'll be back right after this.
Glory to manger bed, crucified.
All righty, we're back, and we have Mary out there. Mary, hello? Let me tell you this so we can, because we have callers calling in here, but here what you have is you've got this contest playing out here. Remember, Satan is still trying to win the fallen angels after him, so now God has got quite an advantage because God knew that Satan was going to come, what he was going to do, what he was going to ask, right, ahead of time. Satan, remember, how long was he in the throne room of God? How many years? How long was he in there with God? So he pretty felt, I guess, that he pretty much knew how God was going to react. And so the idea is here with Job. And he tells God, look, here, you know, you take away Job. You know, Job, this fellow Job, I should have him. And God says, no. Job's a God-fearing man. He feareth God and he escheweth evil. He hates evil, Satan. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge around about him and his house? And so long and short, he said, look, you let me take away all this, the material things you've given him, and he'll curse you to his face. And God knew that. And he said, now go ahead. You can take away, but don't hurt him. Don't touch his body. So then it came down to, well, that didn't work. When he took away his family and everything, it didn't work. And then he says, well, he's got such good health. I mean, look at that guy, you know. And God said, all right, Satan. And he said, remember, this is playing out before a whole host of angels. And Satan's not looking too good at this point. And so he allows him to take away Job's health. I mean, in a bad way. And yet Job was tested, and Job was a righteous man, and God replaced everything, double what he lost. So there you go.
In Hebrews number one, Hebrews, the first chapter, mm-hmm. It says, like, to which of the angels have I ever called a son? So that's why it's confusing to me. It sounds like, you know, he's talking about Christ. That's his son, his only begotten son. But then it says, like, to the angels. That's why I thought they were people on earth being saying to the Lord. You know, that's why I thought that, because it says, to which of the angels have I ever said, you are my son? Does that have a different meaning?
Yeah, he's simply saying that, remember, Satan professed himself to be God. Satan professed, you know, himself, that he exalted himself to the throne of God. Read in Isaiah 14. But here, the idea he's saying, look, that Jesus is not a creation. He's not an angel. He's much higher even than Satan. Remember, Satan was a very powerful individual. In fact, the Bible says Satan was the most beautiful creature God ever created. And at that point, it was Lucifer, okay? So he's making a point that Jesus here, okay, is much higher. Now, God did not create Christ. Christ was preexistent, okay? But he's talking about the position that he gave him as the only begotten. In other words, he's saying, look, that there's no equal. He has no equal out there at all. He can't be compared even to the angels. Now, there are times in Scripture where the word angelus, means simply messenger. It could be an angelic being, or it can be simply a messenger. Okay, now, for example, in the seven churches, the pastors, when it talked about the angels of the church, those were the pastors. They were the messengers, okay, of the seven churches. But but I have to move on because we have other callers. But Merry Christmas, Mary.
Oh, you too. Merry Christmas, sir.
God bless. Let's go out to Cleveland, Ohio with Steve.
Hey, Pastor, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
You're out there doing what you know how to do best, and now you're even doing it better. Nicholas was the last name of the CEO of Sam's Club.
Yeah.
It happens to be this time of the year is St. Nick or Old St. Nicholas, for anybody who tries to remember that name. If you take the word Santa and you rearrange the letters, you will find Satan, and it's not much. But
yeah,
go figure that one out. You got a February, oh yeah, and Project Bluebeam. Going to go along with this. That's an Alex Jones thing. A February letter that you sent out, One of them was Eight Ways Chris Gray and Bill Barr Destroyed Free and Fair Elections in America. Between destroying the elections and Kristen Welker asking Trump about 2020 elections and Bill Rogan having him on there, President Trump saying he's not giving up and he has all the info and everything, but everybody kept cutting him off. Rogan gave him a little bit of a chance, but when she asked him the question, you're never going to give up the 2020 election? And he says, no, we got to find out, and that's what Bannon always says. But now what Mr. Alex Jones is saying, all this stuff that they've known about it a lot, but what I remember was is Wisconsin, Georgia, and Arizona was 38 electoral votes, and they wanted to switch the state legislator. And if they would have been able to, they would have put both presidents at 268 votes, electoral votes. And Trump just needed to win Las Vegas and Reno, Nevada. But if he would have won Las Vegas, he would have won Nevada, and they would have gave Trump 275 to 268. So really, he lost by about 45,000 electoral votes. But, of course, Biden got 81 million. And my fellow man, Mike Lindell, says he got about 65 million. But, hey, my real question was, is everything you're talking about right now, China's getting kind of put in there's so much to talk about. There's a book called When China Will Attack. It was on Bannon's War Room, his second he has a two-part, 6 o'clock and 6 to 7 on Rumble. But it makes us look like we are way behind in the shipbuilding as far as where China's at.
Oh, we are. We are. We've fallen way behind.
Are we going to be kind of looking, you think, they were saying before Trump gets sworn into office, think China's going to make a move on Taiwan, or you best?
I don't know. Probably not. One of the things they know about Trump, you know, when Trump does his negotiating and this and that, one of the things he does when for the economy, when he works his magic to help the American economy, he makes it beneficial for the foreign companies too. Now, China knows that when it comes to the economy, Trump can help them improve their economy. That's one of the things that they're already talking about. So to have Trump now invite the Chinese president to his inaugural. Now, if Xi should actually come to that inaugural, okay, that's going to be a sign that they're going to be talking a lot about the marketplace, okay? So, but we'll see what happens. I don't know what that'll, if he's going to accept that and come or not. It would be really something if it did.
Well, if you look at Donald Trump at 70 years old on YouTube and stuff like that and look at him now, it looks like he was like maybe 6 months ago he did the interview or whatever it was. But if anybody wants to go on YouTube and just look, Donald Trump is on at 40 years old, or for 40 years, and also at 40 about talking about president. But he's on there at 30. But if you go back and look at his hairstyle and just look at him and then look at Barron, that's why Melania says he has two children. Their names are Donald and Barron.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you know, what you see. But hopefully you can get a free trip down to Mar-a-Lago or something like that, because you do wonders down there. You really would.
Yeah.
Hey, God bless you. I appreciate you. We all appreciate you and praying for you. So.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas to you. Alrighty. Who do we have? The phone lines are still. We have time for one more call.
That means we got time for Cliff in New York.
Okay, let's go to yeah. There he is. There he is.
I do have a question, but two audio books that might be useful is, this is more for the Wendy stuff. It's a chemistry book called It's Elemental by a chemistry professor from Austin, Texas. But it is useful about molecules and you can relate it to diet and just also, you know, what's in some of these shots, for example, but more so just general for chemicals, you know, kind of well laid out, interesting book for kind of a difficult subject. But I think it's helpful for understanding nutrition and supplements. So it's called It's Elemental is the name of the audio book. Also, there's a novel that I just went through called Prey, where the bad guy is self-assembling nanoparticles by Michael Crichton, the guy that wrote Jurassic Park. And it's linking their activities with computers that have a predator-prey programming. So it's linking these nanoparticles to computers. It's really creepy, but it involves transference of the nanoparticles by kissing by one of the bad persons. Which is a woman. But my question is, you were talking about answered prayer and, you know, this idea of maybe praying to help see the answers as they occur, which can be difficult in and of itself. And I'm thinking of Peter in Acts of the Apostles, one when he was on the rooftop. That was kind of difficult maybe for the average person to interpret, you know, his vision. And then also when the people were praying for him and he knocked on the door and the girl answered the door and they weren't expecting that. So they were praying but didn't expect the answer. So what would you say about being better able to discern what's an answer and what may not be an answer?
Okay, you mean talking about Peter on the rooftop praying?
Yeah.
Are you talking about when the
sometimes to you know, you may misread what you think is the answer. Yeah.
Well, you're talking about when the sheet came down.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, basically, what the Lord was telling him is what he said in Jeremiah 31:31, that there was going to be a new covenant. And now these people, these Gentiles, that were no longer under, you know, the dietary laws. And so Peter, when Peter says, no, I won't, I would never touch anything like that, you know, to eat one of the, and the Lord is telling him, take and eat, Peter. And he's letting them know that, no, we are no longer under the dietary laws. You're not under the dietary laws anymore. And so that the Gentiles are just, you know, are just as equal, that you're all equal, whether you're a Jew or Gentile in Christ, you're equal. Remember, Peter had Paul had to withstand Peter to his face over that, because Peter had a situation that whenever the Judaizers were around, Peter ignored the Gentiles and the new Gentile believers. And so Paul withstood him to his face on that, and Peter repented of it. But I'm out of time for tonight, so Merry Christmas, and repent. That's what we got to do today, okay? The essentials of salvation, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, that's what we heard from John the Baptist over there, Matthew 3:2. This was the message, and here, as he preached in the wilderness of Judea to the people who thronged around about him. Remember, boy, they came to John the Baptist in the early days there. It was appropriate for his day, and also he appropriate for our day. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, in Luke 13:3. So sinners must repent in order to be saved. Backsliders must also return to Jesus and repent. This is God's plan, God's way. There is no other alternative, nothing that can take its place, no other way. Good works won't do it. Catechisms won't do it. Education won't do it. Just quitting one's sins won't do it. Merely turning around in the road won't do it. One must repent in order to be saved. God says so, and he means it. And again, the word of faith movement says no, repentance is not necessary. And I'm talking about Joe Osteen and here are these people like Kevin Copeland and that. So What is repentance? It's the godly sorrow for sin. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to the repenting of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. 2 Corinthians 7:10. That doesn't mean doing a little something to ease the guilty conscience. Godly sorrow is a deep sorrow. It reaches every nook and corner of your heart and mind and soul. It goes into the depth of one's being. It means that one is sorry for all his sins. That's why I always say when you ask for forgiveness, you got to mean it. God looks upon your heart. He knows if you're really sorry, you know. He knows if you're really sorry or you're just trying to avoid the lake of fire, folks. You know, it's our sin to put Christ upon that cross. And so here, it means that when one is sorry for all his sins, becomes deeply repentant, and gives up all his sins, then goes out of the sinning business. Amen. Now, here, folks, I got to tell you. After repentance and the new birth, the regeneration comes. Sanctification is a second definite work of grace. This eradicates and destroys the carnal mind and nature. It's regeneration. We are saved from our actual sins. And in sanctification, we are cleansed from inbred sin or the inherited sin or natural depravity, which is the Adamic nature, the consequences of the fall of man. That regenerated people have the carnal mind is evident, folks. And the scriptures teach it. And there's one's experience proves it. Now, there arises anger and inward striving in the soul. Oftentimes one is easily offended, made mad, worried, aggravated, fretted, and upset. He sometimes is irritable and peevish, if you will. He murmurs, he frets, complains, sound like some of us folks, rather than think and praise God and rejoice forevermore. Multitudes of people who have been regenerated still realize that something exists within that ought not to be there. They know that there is an inward foe, and that refers to as the old man and the new man. When you become born again, look, you grow in the faith. You don't become perfect overnight. You grow to become more and more Christ-like. And so, you know, it takes you back to, as they say, let's go back to the basics. The basics is to start with. Now, there are people out there that actually are teaching a heresy that everyone, nobody goes to hell, everyone goes to heaven. Boy, I would hate to be in their position. I would hate to be on that day when their soul is required of them. How many people have they misled? Are they going to hear those words that you, not only have you not inherited the kingdom, but you've kept others. Therefore, your sin is so much greater. But anyhow, you pray to the Father. Jesus made it easy. He said, here's how you do it. You pray to the Father. You ask for forgiveness. You pray to him in my name. You call upon me, those that call upon the name of the Lord, and ask that I be the Lord of their life, all of their life. They surrender. Why do that? Because Jesus is the one that took your place upon that cross at Calvary. And if you'll do that, and if you mean it, you'll be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You'll become a new creature. You'll become a born-again believer. You'll become an heir of the kingdom, folks. And everything will be different. It'll start little by little, but it will happen. You have God's word on it. Well, we're at that place where we get to every night, where we say, thanks for being here. Thanks for being with us tonight. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your prayers. And then we say, good night. We say, God bless. And then we say, and always, always, always. And okay, ready? Keep fighting the fight, 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 fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's right, what's left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.